Before we open God's Word, let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's so good for us to be a second time in this day round about Thy Word. We are thankful for Thy living Word. We are thankful for the preservation of Thy Word. We are thankful that Thou wouldst always have a message for us whenever we delve into Thy Word, whenever we open Thy Scripture, Thou dost have something for each and every one of us. Thou knowest the hearts of each individual that is here. We pray that Thou wouldst fill each and every heart, fulfill the needs, and move in a mighty way, dear Father. Touch the hearts of those that are still without the fold of Jesus Christ, and build and edify and strengthen Thy church, dear Father, which is the body of Christ, which we are so thankful, dear Father, for all of us that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that we are part of the body of Jesus Christ. We pray, speak to our hearts, dear Father, be our teacher, for we promise to give Thee the honor, the praise, and the glory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For our meditation this afternoon, I would like to read you with the help of the Lord out of the letter to the Colossians, chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. Beginning with verse number 1, we read, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Whether where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." I've concluded with verse number 17. Brothers and sisters, and all that have come to hear God's word this afternoon, we have a powerful portion of scripture that we read this afternoon, that even as Brother Irwin prayed, that applies to how we as believers need to live our lives on this earth. Even though we know that the scripture says that we are not saved by works, lest any man should boast, but we are saved by grace. And it is a free gift of God that we all have to accept this free gift. Jesus Christ paid a great price for this gift. And all we have to do is we have to accept it. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. But it is a gift that we have to accept, and we have to repent of our sins, come to Jesus Christ, and ask for his forgiveness, which he is more than willing to forgive us if we come with a broken and a contrite heart, willing to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, because Jesus did pay a great price for us. He suffered much for us, and he went through what we should have went through. We should have been on the cross. Not the Lord Jesus Christ, which was the perfect Lamb of God. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He was the perfect sacrifice, and he lived a perfect life on this earth. And he came to do the Father's will. Knowing all this, brothers and sisters, knowing all this, what Jesus had done for us, the Apostle Paul, as he writes here to the believers in Colossae, and we know that there were certain things that were going on in the church of Colossae. We know that the Apostle Paul had to speak of the preeminence of Christ so that they would understand that Christ is first and that it's all about Christ, it's not about us. And then other things where there was vain philosophies and other teachings that were coming in and them reverting back to the old law, the Jewish believers. The Apostle Paul here begins this third chapter and he asks the question, or basically makes a statement. He says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." If he then be risen with Christ, brothers and sisters, each and every one of us that has went through the ordinances laid down in the scripture, repenting of our sins, putting our faith in Jesus Christ, believing in Jesus Christ, believing that he is the Son of God, believing that there is a God, that he does exist and that he is in control of all things and that he rules from his throne in heaven. Believing all this and having the faith, we came to Jesus. We repented of our sins. We were baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. We read in the scripture that we were It says here in the second chapter of Colossians, it says, "Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And then further going on down in this second chapter, from verse 11, it says, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off the body of sins of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead," that is Jesus Christ. "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened," or made alive together with him, "having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." We were risen, brothers and sisters, as the Apostle Paul says here, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are from above." And we read in the second chapter there that we have risen with Christ, and it is by the faith and the operation of God. What rose Jesus from the dead, that power that rose Jesus from the dead, is the same power that rises us out of the watery baptism, out of that watery grave, onto newness of life in the likeness and the image of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we have been risen with Christ. And the only way for us to rise at that last day to the new resurrection is to have risen with Christ while we're alive on this earth. We have to rise with Christ while we have life and breath, so we can set our affection on things above, so we can set our mind, our focus. Brothers and sisters, where is our mind? What are we focused on? What is our ambitions? What are our priorities? What do we spend our time in? What do we do in the life that God has given us? Are we thinking of the bigger picture? Are we thinking of the home that draws us there? The heavenly home that draws us there? Something that draws us there in heaven. We have our Savior in heaven. He is at the right hand of God, we read. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, having completed the perfect plan of salvation, he is now seated at the right hand of the Father and interceding for us. We have our Lord that draws us there. We have our treasure that draws us to heaven. We have a home, a mansion. Jesus says, I go and prepare a mansion for you, so that where I am, you may be also. Brothers and sisters, we have everything that draws us to heaven. Wouldn't our minds be totally focused on the things of heaven? Wouldn't our actions, our every walk of life, our ambitions, our priorities in this life, wouldn't they be focused? And wouldn't they bring in the picture of heaven? What are the things that draw us to this earth? Is there anything that draws us to this earth? We know what's in this world. We know what's in this fallen world. It's a fallen world that we live in. There is sorrow, there is pain, there is sin, there is death. I believe, brothers and sisters, that would be nothing that would draw us. But the things that are of heaven are the things that should draw us. That's where we need to have our minds and our focus on. Because we have been risen with Christ to newness of life, to imitate the image of Christ, to imitate his walk that he walked for us when he was on this earth. He showed us the example. He showed us how we ought to live. We know that there are men of God in Scripture. Elijah, for an example, a patriarch that had his mind continually towards heaven. The Scripture says he continually thought of heaven. And it says that God took him and translated him. He did not see death. We know that God sent, and Elisha, his servant, saw the fiery chariots coming down from heaven and came to take him to be in the heavens where he was thinking about day and night. He continually thought about the heavens. And David of old, we can read in Psalms 27. Where he had this great desire always. In verse 4 it says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. This was his desire, David of old, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And he said, that will I seek after. Brothers and sisters, are we seeking to have our minds towards heaven? Is that our continual daily seeking, that our minds are focused on heaven? Or are we too busy in this life? Are we too occupied that we don't even have time to open the scriptures? We don't even have time to think about the Lord. How many people in this world, they run rampant in the rat race, so-called in the rat race that is in this world. They all run after the almighty dollar. They all seek the things. They are so busy. And that's what the devil wants. He wants us to be so busy that we don't even have time to think about the Lord, that our minds and our focus cannot be on heaven, but focused on the here and now, on the things of this earth, the things that are carnal, the things that will pass away, the things that have no eternal value. But the Apostle Paul, encouraging the believers in Colossae and also us, to set our minds, set our affections, set our desires on things from above. Things that have worth, not the things of this earth. Because there is no worth in the things of this earth. They bring death, they bring destruction, they bring sorrow, they bring pain. But the things of heaven is what bring joy, what brings joy, the fullness of joy in Jesus Christ. That is where our joy needs to be. For it says, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When we read this scripture, it says, for ye are dead. What is the apostle here trying to bring out, inspired by the Holy Spirit? It says, for ye are dead. Someone that is dead will have no interaction with the living. He is dead. You can offer him whatever you want. He will not take it because he is dead. And what the apostle means here is that we are dead to sin, dead to this world, but we are alive to Christ. We are dead to the world. We are dead to sin. The things, the offerings of this world, the offerings that Satan brings to us. And brothers and sisters, he is not ashamed to come to us. He is not ashamed to come into our minds, to work in our minds, to plant his seed in our minds, to take our focus off of heaven. But brothers and sisters, as we are dead to sin, the things of this earth should not mean anything to us. But the things of heaven should mean everything to us. It says, your life is hid with Christ in God. And what the apostle here is trying to teach us and to show us is that our life is not secret. We know that we are supposed to be a light to this world. We are supposed to be the salt of the earth. We are supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. We are supposed to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. So our life is not hid from the world so that they can see Christ living within us. But what the apostle here is trying to show us and to teach us is that it is our life is secure in Jesus Christ. We have a security here because we are in Christ. And as long as we remain in Christ, that security will be with us. He has promised that he that has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the end. We have the promises of God. He says, and the Apostle Paul himself says, I know whom I'm believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto the end. Brothers and sisters, we have the resources. We have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, a gift of God, God himself dwelling in us. Brothers and sisters, can we imagine that? That God loved us so much that he was willing to dwell in a broken and a contrite heart. Brothers and sisters, we have the security in Christ. That is what our life is hid with Christ in God. We are secure in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Brothers and sisters, what a beautiful day that's going to be when Christ shall appear, when we shall see him upon the clouds, coming with great power and glory. He is coming the second time with great power and glory. He's not coming as a humble servant. He is not coming as a sacrificial lamb to be crucified, to be put to death, and to take the sin of the whole world upon him. The prophet Isaiah says, "The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all." He bore it all for us, brothers and sisters. But he is not coming the second time to be that sacrifice. He is coming with his holy angels. He is coming in great power and glory. And he is coming to gather his children for that great reunion in the sky to be forever with the Lord. What a beautiful day that's going to be. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Brothers and sisters, a promise of God that when he shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. We shall be glorified then. We have been justified by Jesus Christ through his blood, justified and sanctified. But when he shall appear, then we shall be glorified. And we shall appear with him in glory. Brothers and sisters, isn't this enough to keep us continuing to battle the evil one? But again, brothers and sisters, we know that the Lord is fighting the battle for us. We just have to have faith and trust in him. Believe in him with all your hearts. Listen to the Holy Spirit, and he will guide us and lead us into all truth and righteousness, that we can appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Mortify. Mortify means to kill, to put to death. Brothers and sisters, we are to mortify our members which are upon the earth. We can read in Romans chapter 6 there where it says that we now yield our members unto righteousness, no longer unto unrighteousness, no longer to the prince of the power of the air, but we yield our members to Christ. All our being, our hearts, our minds, this flesh and blood, we bring it into subjection that we could be obedient to Christ. We put to death the things of this body. We put to death sin, which the Apostle Paul enumerated here, the appetites of the body. Further on in this chapter, he talks about the passions that we have to put off. We are to kill, we are to put off the things of this body. Immorality, we read here, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, seeking that which is forbidden by God, lusting greatly after the things that are forbidden by God, that we live a pure and holy life, brothers and sisters. Living in chastity, living in purity before God, and not desiring and being greedy for someone else's things. And we know in the Ten Commandments we read of covetousness, seeking those things which are not ours, our neighbor's. It talks about our neighbor's wife. It talks about our neighbor's things. Our love, brothers and sisters, should be to the Lord and solely to the Lord, not to the things of this world, not to the wealth, but to the Lord. That's where our love and our desires and our focus and the members of our body need to be focused on. It says, "For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." The wrath of God is going to be poured out from heaven on all those that are disobedient to His word. All those that reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. My friend outside of Christ, if you've seen any catastrophes, if you've seen anybody get really angry, maybe that you thought, wow, this person is so angry that I've never seen anybody that angry. Wait till you see the wrath of God. The wrath of God is going to be poured out from heaven on all the children of disobedience. All those that disobey the gospel of Jesus Christ. All those that think nothing of the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon the cross. Who look at it as nothing. Who put no worth on it. Or no value on it. But they would rather value the things of this earth. They would rather fulfill their own desires. They would rather reject God's precious, precious gift and do their own thing. God's wrath will be poured out. Make no mistake about it. It says, "In the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now he also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, out of your mouth." These are the passions of man and woman. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. And the blasphemy here that the Apostle Paul is speaking of is talking ill one of another. Talking bad about our brother and our sister. Gossiping, slandering. Brothers and sisters, we need to put off all these things. We should have put off all these things. These things should not be part of our lives. These things, when we put off the old man and put on the new, these things should have went away. They should have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You see, before we put on the new, we have to put off the old. We can't put something new on when we have something old. When we were kids and we came in all dirty from playing outside, our mothers did not put on clean clothes without first cleaning us up, first taking off our dirty clothes before she put on new clothes and clean clothes. The Apostle Paul here is showing us that we need to put off the old before we put on the new creature in Christ. The Apostle Paul says, "Mortify the members of your body, put to death, kill those things." Because if we don't kill those things, if we do not kill sin, sin will kill us. Brothers and sisters, we have to understand the seriousness of sin. We have to understand, and we cannot underestimate the power of Satan. But we have to understand that the power of God is much greater than the power of Satan. There is no comparison. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Brothers and sisters, we have to put off the old man, before we can put on the new creature in Christ. It says in Corinthians, it says, "Behold, all things have become new. Old things have passed away." The old things, brothers and sisters, the wrath, the blasphemy, the appetites of the body that the devil wants to cater to, and that he caters to this world and he caters to man and woman. because he always wants to go against God. He always wants to go against God. He knows he is fighting a losing battle. He knows he doesn't have a chance, but he's going to do everything in his arsenal. He's going to do everything that God allows him to do to try to bring us back. Brothers and sisters, don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. But have a wise and an understanding heart. As Solomon of old asked the Lord for a wise and understanding heart and a discerning heart to be able to discern the deceits of the devil. And brothers and sisters, if we spend our time and our minds are focused on heaven, then these things will have little effect on our lives. We will live according to the Word of God. We will live according to God's will because we are in tune with the Spirit. We are in tune with God. We are thinking of those things which are from above. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We are renewed in knowledge, brothers and sisters, after the image of Christ. We are renewed. We are new, a new man in Christ. And we need to live that life. And here the Apostle Paul doesn't make any difference of race, of nationality. He says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Brothers and sisters, doesn't matter what background we came from, doesn't matter what culture, what race, it says Christ is all in and in all. Christ died for the whole world, for all those that would believe in his name. He didn't just die for a certain people. He didn't just die for his own chosen people, the Jews. They have to go through the same road, and that is the road of the cross. They have to go to the cross also. They don't have a free ticket or a get out of jail free card. They have to go through Christ. Just like we, the Gentiles, do, we have to go through Christ. Because Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. The Apostle Paul here now shows us the exact opposite of what we put off. We put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. We put off all those things, and now he is telling us what to put on. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy. Brothers and sisters, do we have a compassionate heart for the lost? Do we have a merciful heart for those that are lost? For those that we see that they need help? Do we have a compassionate and merciful heart for our brother and our sister? Do we esteem them higher than ourselves? What did Jesus do when he was on this earth? He left us a perfect example. How merciful, how compassionate he was. It doesn't matter if the vilest sinner came before him. He did not reject. He showed mercy and compassion. He showed the woman that was caught in adultery. He forgave her and he said, go and sin no more. He forgave her. And then he told those that were there that accused her, says, cast the first stone. And it says, each and every one from the youngest to the oldest walked out because they knew they were all guilty. They knew they were guilty themselves of sin in their lives. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, put on the fruit of the Spirit. That is the fruit that should come out of our lives. The fruit that is enumerated there in Galatians chapter 5. It says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. The bond of completeness. If we put on charity, this benevolent love, which we read of in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where it talks about the charity. Charity suffereth long. Charity thinketh no evil. Many things there. Charity beareth all things. And here we are called to put on charity above all things. You see, if we have this charity, brothers and sisters, we will have put on bowels of mercy. We will have put on kindness. We will put on humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, thinking no evil of anyone. This is the bond of perfectness. This is the bond of completeness. This is what the Apostle Paul says, to come into the stature and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, unto a perfect man, unto a complete man. Brothers and sisters, that's what we should all be striving for. To be in the fullness and the stature of Jesus Christ in knowledge, in every aspect of our life. Anything we think and do in this life, let us think, if Christ was there, and Christ is there, but let us think, if Christ was physically beside us, would we do these things that maybe we do now? Because we don't see Christ physically, but the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter writes in his epistle, the first epistle, chapter number 1. In verse 8 it says, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Brothers and sisters, let us always have Christ at our side. Let Christ always be there with us. That when things are offered to us, when things come in our lives, that we would know that Christ would not approve of these things, or that he would approve of these things. If we are putting on holy and beloved bowels of mercy, if we are walking in Christ. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Brothers and sisters, if we are never in the word of God, how can the word of God dwell in us richly? If we take the scriptures on a limited basis, or whenever we maybe just come to church, that's the only time we open the scripture. We never open it at home or at work or wherever we are. How can the word of Christ dwell in us richly? It can't. Because we are not in the Word. We have everything in the Holy Scriptures here that the Word of Christ will dwell in us richly, and then our minds and our affections and our desires will be on heaven. Because that is what the Scripture speaks of. It speaks of Christ. It speaks of His great salvation. It speaks of heaven. It speaks of hell. It gives us warnings. It encourages us. It says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Encouraging one another, brothers and sisters. It says, teaching and admonishing one another. And admonishing here means a mild and with love in our hearts, a mild rebuke, or bringing to someone's attention with great love, desiring that our brother and our sister, if they have got too close to the fire, that we would be so loving and so compassionate and so merciful that we would pull them away from the fire. Not just letting them go and not caring, having that careless attitude, but having that caring attitude, that loving attitude, and sharpening one another as iron sharpeneth iron, Proverbs speaks of. Provoking one another unto love and to good works. Brothers and sisters, being there one for another, if we see a stumbling brother or sister, let us lend a helping hand. Let us be there for them. Because we are all in the body of Christ, brothers and sisters. When one part of the body suffers, we need to suffer along with them. It says, to rejoice with them that rejoice and to weep with them that weep. To be there one for another. And whatever we do, brothers and sisters, in word and in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Do all in the name of the Lord. Everything we do, brothers and sisters, can we say that everything we do in the name of the Lord? And we know what it means to do it in the name of the Lord. Not just using the Lord's name and say, well, I'm doing this in the Lord's name. But it has to be aligned with His Word. If we are doing everything in the name of the Lord, it will be aligned perfectly to His Word. It will not contradict the Scripture, but it will align with the Scripture, and we are then living and doing everything in word and deed, giving thanks to God by the Father Him. Because brothers and sisters, it's not of ourselves. Everything we do, it's by Him and through Him. Let us never forget that Christ is the center. Christ is everything. In the church, it's Christ. If we lose focus of Christ and we start focusing upon ourselves and our own ideas, then we will fail. The blessings of the Lord will not be there, but we have to remember that we are doing it for Christ, and it is Christ. In closing, brothers and sisters, once again, as the Apostle Paul encouraged the believers in Colossae to set their affections, set their mind on things which are from above, not the things of this earth.
Our concordance for the Zion's harp, and this song he probably would have picked after his own sermon. It's very appropriate. The second verse we didn't sing. Earth and vain things, you bitter plagues of the soul be gone. From far you seem to glitter, but who by you is won? For gems has empty baubles, for pearls the sand of care. Your wine is full of troubles, and poison taints your fare. That's the distracted Christian, and that's the unbeliever. And we learned about this afternoon about seeking those things which are above and putting our affection, our singular affection. And I'd like to just read what Brother Peter read in Psalm 27. So we kind of have that verse 2 about gems and pearls. They distract us and they cause us trouble and wine and poison. In verse 1 of chapter 27 of Psalm, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat upon my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord," our singular affection, as Brother Peter preached about this afternoon, "and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon the rock." And that rock, brothers and sisters and my friends outside of Christ, that rock is Jesus Christ. In verse 1, we read here, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." We see even in the Old Testament, David knew there was a Savior coming. Somebody was coming to save us from our sins. That's that rock that Brother Peter spoke about this afternoon, upon whom we should set our affection. Set your affection upon that rock, Jesus Christ. My friend outside of Christ, if you feel and recognize you are a sinner, if the Scriptures have condemned you as they should and they will, turn to Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Place your faith in that one true rock. And when you place your faith upon that rock, as we sang in the last verse, "Thou claim the noble treasures, eternal and secure." Amen.